السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم وقال تعالى في مكان آخر وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب صدق الله العظيم. We started by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is worthy of all of our praise and our gratitude is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us this blessed month of Ramadan to come close to Him is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who awaits for us so that He can shower His mercy and His love upon us. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives us His mercy that we don't ask for. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives to us on every step of our way. We then send peace and blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that was sent as a mercy to mankind and as an example for us how to live our lives and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We then send peace and blessings upon the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family members, those who helped him and aided him. Amma ba'd, thereafter. A famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he categorizes the month of Ramadan into three categories, saying that the first is of mercy, the second is of forgiveness, and third is of freedom from the fire of Jahannam. We find ourselves in a place where the first 10, the first ashara, are almost over. And like every year, we see each other and say, wow, Ramadan is going fast. But a question comes to mind. Is my Ramadan working? The other day I was sitting with one of the youth and we were talking about techniques on how to control your anger. He came to me saying that, Sheikh, I kind of struggle with my anger. What can I do to control my anger so I don't get mad at people so much? And we started talking about these different techniques and he was understanding them. And then he comes and says to me, how can I test this? Because there has to be a test. If you're putting effort into something, you want to know, is it working or not? If you're working on your car for hours, you want to first check if it's working. Does it start? Because if it's not working, then we're just wasting our time. And that same question comes to Ramadan, that is our Ramadan working or not? And reality is, when you give it through this test, when you put it through this test, sometimes you'll find that it's not working. But then, is all hope lost? What's the next step? And the reality is, it's okay. There are some adjustments that need to be made. You make these adjustments, and what you will find is, it will start to turn on. Now, what are the adjustments? And how can you test that is my Ramadan working or not? And the reality is, the essence to all worship, the main part of all ibadah, if this is missing, whether it's in your salah, whether it's in your fasting, whether it's in your Quran, whether it's in your dhikr, anything that you do, if this part is missing, then it's failing the test. It's not working. Your salah, not working. Without this, anything that you do just becomes a habit. Many of us have a habit. Every month, every year, we fast in the month of Ramadan. It's just a habit. What do we take away from it? Nothing. Many of us have a habit that we wake up and we pray salah. What do we take away from it? Nothing. Many of us have a habit that I come to Taraweeh in Ramadan, whether it's 8 or 20, it's just a habit. When I leave from here, I take away nothing. And the essence to worship is what you need to be taking away. The key component is the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is my salah bringing me closer to Allah? Is my fasting bringing me closer to Allah? Is my reading Quran bringing me closer to Allah? Is my taraweeh bringing me closer to Allah? Because if it's not, then it's just a habit. It's just something that you're doing, some movement, some hunger that you're facing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one hadith says, "Kam min sa'imin," how many people are there that fast? Saying that there are so many people like this that fail this test, who get nothing from their fast except for hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst, that's all they get. Because the essence of worship is not there. Their fasting doesn't bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali tells us that for every act of worship, there are two components. There is an external component and then there's an internal component. And if the internal component is missing, then the action is a waste. How can you present an action in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that, oh Allah, I did this, but I wasn't thinking of you. I was doing something else. It's like being with your children, but thinking of something else. Being with your spouse, but thinking of something else. It's not loyalty there. But yet we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our minds will be somewhere else. And inshallah, we'll come back to this point. But another place, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he tells us that there are three levels of fasting. And the purpose why we talk about this is that some of us at this moment might find ourselves at level number one. And if that's the case, then it's time to step up to level number two. And then level number three. He says level number one of fasting is what everybody knows about Muslims. That in this month of Ramadan, the Muslims do not eat, drink, or have marital relationships. Everybody knows that. It's plastered all over Instagram. It's plastered all over the news. Muslims are fasting. Muslims are fasting. But these are the three things that they refrain from. They do not eat. They do not drink. They do not have marital relationships. That's level number one. This basically, you are just checking a box. It's like me when I spend time with my spouse, but my mind is somewhere else. But I can tell her, look, I spent an hour with you. I spent 2 hours with you. I've been with you all day. But it's just checking that box. Then Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, says that level number two is when a person fasts with his hunger, thirst, and desires, but at the same time, he steps it up where his fast is now going through his other body parts as well. He's fasting with his eyes. He's fasting with his ears. He's fasting with his, you know, feelings and emotions. That he doesn't look at something that's prohibited. He doesn't say something that's prohibited. Now, saying something prohibited doesn't just mean saying something that's foul, but saying something that hurts somebody's feelings. The famous hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is approached by the companions saying that there are two couple women that are complaining of stomach pain, but they're fasting. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has them regurgitate and meat comes out, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them, this is what the backbiting that you are doing. You were not supposed to do this. So controlling and fasting with your eyes and your tongue and your other body parts, that's level number two, where you want to be at. Where throughout the day, it's not that I do whatever I want, but 5 minutes before sunset, I come and sit down and give me a khajur and give me some, you know, samosa and biryani. It's a little bit different. That throughout your whole time, as you're fasting, your mind is present. You're there in the moment. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, in another place, he says that when a person is praying salah and you find it hard to concentrate, this is pretty much all of us. When you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're in worship and your mind starts to wander out and go to different places, he says the reason for this is a person's thoughts go to his priorities and his desires. Your mind will go to things that you like. Naturally. You like your children, your mind will go there. You like your car, your mind will go there. You like your house, your mind will go there. You like your job, your career, your mind will go there. Whatever is your priority in this moment, while you're in salah, or even outside of salah, you're at home and you're in bed and you're about to go to sleep, but then your mind starts to wander off and you're thinking about so-and-so thing, and thinking about so-and-so thing, and you ask yourself, why am I thinking about this? And the answer is, because this right here is a priority in my life. My health is my priority, and that's why my mind is going there. My parents are my priority, and that's why my mind is going there. My bills are my priority, and that's why my mind is going there. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that when you are in salah, your priorities, your mind directs itself there. But how do you redirect it? You know, at the beginning of Ramadan, the khutbahs and the khatras were all about Ramadan is about God consciousness. Ramadan is about God consciousness. But the reality is, this is a reminder that needs to come to us over and over and over. It's something that we have to remind ourselves. Why am I doing this? When you're in salah, you have to redirect yourself and tell yourself, why am I doing this? In this moment of time, what is my priority? Yes, my work is a priority, but right now, it's not. Because in this moment of time, my biggest priority is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are in salah and you tell yourself, oh no, I shouldn't think about food. I shouldn't think about work. I shouldn't think about this. The reality is, that's just going to make you think about it more. The way that Imam Ghazali says that, the way that you correct yourself is tell yourself, my biggest priority in this moment while I'm in salah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing goes with every type of worship. In your fast, as your mind begins to drift away, as your thoughts begin to shift, remind yourself, how close am I to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this fast
working. Then Imam Ghazali says a third level. So you have the person that does the bare minimum of just eating, drinking, and controlling their desires. Then you have a person who controls their other limbs as well. But then Imam Ghazali says a fast for the third, the most elite. He says the common folk, the basic. Then he says the righteous. But then the third is the most elite. And that is a person who fasts with his heart. Throughout the day, his heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no space for anybody else. It's you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reality is, when you begin to love Allah in this way, where your whole day you're thinking about Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn around and He will love you. In a very famous hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am with my servant if the way he thinks of me. If you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be, if you think of God to be this one that wants to punish you, then that's how he will be. It's like when my children come to me and said, Abba, you're going to get mad. Well, it's already starting. But if they come to me and say, Abba, you're loving, you're merciful, and that's how I'm going to react. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ana inna abdi zannibi, I am with my servant the way he thinks of me. Think of my mercy and I will shower you my mercy. Think of my love and I will show you my love. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my servant comes close to me, a handspan, a small step, you just start to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in return, I will come close to him an arm's length. He then says that if you remember me when you are alone, then I will remember you in solitude. And if you remember me in a gathering of people, with your family, with your friends, with your community, then I will remember you in a gathering that's far better than your gathering. He then says, if you come walking to me, then I will come running to you. The love that you show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reality is, in all of our relationships, we fear, what if I don't get the same amount back? The investment that I put into my children, in the back of my mind, I do fear, what if I don't get that back? The love that I give to my spouse, I fear, what if I don't get that back? The commitment that I put at my work, I fear that what if I don't get that back? But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that fear is not there. Because you come walking to Him and He'll come running to you. You remember Him throughout your fast, and Allah's mercy, His love will be there throughout your day. Allah's love is in the form of His mercy. You know, we talk about the mercy of Allah and how these first 10 days are all about the mercy of Allah. A person should focus on this. But then the question comes up, what does the mercy of Allah look like? What is the mercy of Allah? And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, every time that you open the fridge and there's food there, that's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time you go home and your children smile at you, that's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time you were in trouble and things worked out for you, that's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time you open the app, your Chase app or whatever app it is, and you see some money there, that's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time you thought that there's no other way, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened a door for you, that's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reality is, we are surrounded by His mercy. You and I cannot take a step without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I cannot live a day without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, at this point of Ramadan, where we're 10 days in, that we refocus ourselves. And we bring that God consciousness, that presence, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awareness of God, into our fasts. So that our fasts are not just empty, it's not just shallow. It's not just a shell. It's not just a mundane act that we end up doing. You know, we always joke that people say, after Ramadan, you know, I'm not doing this now, after Ramadan. But that comes, why? Because this is just empty. Our fasts are empty. But it's okay. Some adjustments can be made. We can work on this. We can change the level from 1 to 2, and then 2 to 3, and make our fast more meaningful. And we started off with the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servant asks about me, when you question yourself about the mercy of Allah, in this month of Ramadan, you are tired. The reality is, we go to sleep 11, 12 o'clock, we wake up at 5 o'clock. Many of us are on 5, 6 hours of sleep. It's Friday and we can't wait till Saturday. Why? Because I get to sleep in. And you ask yourself, in this state where I'm going all out, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What am I getting back? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. When my servant asks about me, فَإِنِّي قَلِيمٌ. I'm right there with you. I'm with you. I see the struggle that you are going through, the hunger that you face, the thirst that you have, the fatigue and the tiredness, the headaches that you get. All of this, I see it. فَإِنِّي قَلِيمٌ. What am I doing? أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I'm answering your prayers. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. So call on to me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي. And believe in me. Put your trust that if in this month in Ramadan, belief is not just saying, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُهُ. That's basic level. We're far beyond that. We're 30, 40 years, 50, 60 years into our Islam game. True belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that if I put in this effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow this month to be a month of change for me. My situation with my children, my situation with my spouse, my situation all around can get better. It's not just for those people that have a beard. It's not just for those people that wear a thobe. It's not just for those people that stay in the masjid all the time. This religion is for me as well. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for me as well. Our deen is a deen that covers every single person. Everyone in this room, every single Muslim, every single non-Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His mercy upon. In one of these, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in the ninth of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the whole night comes down and He makes out a call. Imagine that He is saying your name. Imagine if He's saying, oh Ahmed. Imagine if He's saying, oh Aisha. Imagine if He's saying, oh Mubin. Or imagine saying your name. And He's saying, do you want my mercy? Who is there to ask for my mercy so I can shower my mercy? Who is there to ask for my love so I can give Him my love? Who is there to ask for my sustenance so I can give Him my sustenance? Who is there to ask for my forgiveness so I can give Him my forgiveness? The reality is the essence of ibadah is not just movements. It's not just hunger. There has to be a deeper reason. And that deeper reason is your closeness and your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this moment of time, ask yourself, how close do I feel with my Creator? You can ask yourself this question about your spouse, and you'll say, oh, we're close. You can ask yourself about your children and say, yes, me and my children are close. But ask yourself, how close am I to my Rabb? How close am I to my Khaliq? How close am I to my Lord? How close am I to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is a time to go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. We have the brother from Muslim Aid here. Muslim Aid works in many different countries, providing for the orphans, providing for clean water in Palestine. They are the fastest growing Muslim non-profit organization. One of the projects that they're working on are giving clean water to the Muslims in Palestine. So inshallah, they're here today. They ask that you donate. To provide it one system, one filtering system, is $5,000. If you can't do that, then whatever amount is appreciated. The minimum, they're asking that you at least sponsor an orphan, which is $45. Inshallah, on the way out, you can visit the table. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon us and Muslims across the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has mercy upon Muslims wherever they may be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts our calls in this month of Ramadan, that He accepts our fasting. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts our standing and praying to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to come close to Him, that we understand the true essence of worship. We ask for unity in this month of Ramadan. We ask for closeness to Him in the month of Ramadan. We ask that this month of Ramadan be a month that we transform and change ourselves. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us in this month of Ramadan. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us with people of Jannah in this month of Ramadan. We ask Allah that, oh Allah, do not let us exit Ramadan the way that we entered Ramadan. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, break us free from our vices in this month. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, break us free from our temptations, those things that hold us down. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us a connection with You, give us a connection with the Qur'an, give us a connection with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we ask that You make us good Muslims and good human beings. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us kind, make us gentle. Oh Allah, give us a heart that is soft. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us a hand that is open and that gives in Your path. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us an eye that cries out of Your mercy. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that You protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Oh Allah, protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Oh Allah, we ask for Jannah. Oh Allah, we ask that You give Jannah not alone but with our family members. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give our parents Jannah and give our siblings Jannah and give our children Jannah. Oh Allah, give all of our friends and our loved ones Jannah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever there is a Muslim struggling, we ask that You remove the harms and difficulties from their path. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this month of Ramadan, there are Muslims that don't have food. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, You are there for them. Oh Allah, we ask that You make matters easy for them. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept from us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين واقيم الصلاة. Inshallah, after Salah, we again, if everybody can stay seated, we have a sister that will be accepting Islam. She'll be taking her shahada. She'll be in the sisters area. So everybody, if y'all can remain seated, we'll have the shahada. Jazakallah khair.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just a request, inshallah. We have a sister that is taking shahada. So if everybody can stay seated for a few minutes. Sister Zainab, inshallah, whenever you're ready, if you have the mic, we can get started.
We are ready.
Once again, Sister Zainab, if she's ready, we can start the shahada.
We are ready.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay. So before we start, before we take the shahada, just a little basic for the sister. Our deen is based upon five actions. Of course, every Muslim knows this. This is the five pillars of Islam. As a Muslim, number one, inshallah, we testify that the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reason for that is that whatever's in our heart, we bring it to our tongue, we verbalize it. Number two, we pray five times a day. The reason for this is to remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring God conscious into our lives. Number three, we give a charity, which if a person can afford, if it's more than is excessive, and they give 2.5% of whatever's extra. Number four, we fast in the month of Ramadan. And number five, we perform the once in a lifetime Hajj. There are six things that every believer, every Muslim believes in, six things that Muslims believe in, and that is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's only one God. We believe in the books of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, holy scriptures. We believe in all of the angels. We believe in all the prophets. We believe in life after death, and we believe in predestination. Even though we have control in what we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So these are six things that every Muslim believes in, and five actions that every Muslim does. Inshallah, if the sister is ready, I can say the shahada. I'll first say in Arabic, and then inshallah she can repeat after me, and then we'll say in English, and inshallah this will complete her shahada.
Ready. We are ready.
Okay. Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Allah.
Allah.
Ilaha.
Ilaha.
Illallah.
Illallah.
Wa ashhadu.
Wa ashhadu.
Anna.
Anna.
Muhammadan.
Muhammadan.
Abduhu.
Abduhu.
Wa rasuluh. I testify. I testify.
I testify.
That there is no God.
That there is no God
worthy of worship.
Worthy of worship.
But Allah.
But Allah.
And I testify.
And I testify.
That Muhammad.
That Muhammad.
Is his servant.
Is a servant.
And messenger.
And messenger.
You can't help but smile. Such a beautiful moment where a person comes into the folds of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that when a person accepts Islam, it's a new page of their life. Everything in the past is wiped away. Completely clean. What a better time to accept Islam other than the month of Ramadan. Oh, subhanAllah. Takbir. Takbir. Takbir Allah. Once again, inshallah, the sister, all of her sins are forgiven. But like we said earlier, if you want your sins forgiven, all you have to do is ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. Inshallah, we have the brothers from Muslim Aid who have a short appear.
Takbir. Now we have one sister, one soul saved from the hellfire. Takbir. My job is now to save lives. 2.5 million brothers and sisters live in cage in Gaza. 97% of them drink contaminated water. 13% annual kidney failure over there. And one of the most inhuman living cases in our history, modern history. 7% of the children death over there is because of contaminated water. Luckily, Muslim Aid USA was able to partner with international relief organizations like Red Cross Geneva and ADA and USAID to make sure that we will be able to install reverse osmosis water system in Gaza. And we were able to make four of these in one of the most populated areas in Gaza. Takbir! Just imagine, Allah is sending us to reduce the impact of injustice against these brothers with drinkable water, which we take for granted. You can be a major contributor with your donation, whether it's a one-time donation, a big donation, $10,000, $5,000, $2,500, or even if it is $100, whether it's one-time, monthly, ongoing, just be sure to be part of the solution for this crisis. If you cannot, at least what you can do, $45 a month orphan sponsorship, whether it's in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Yemen, in southern Turkey or northern Turkey, in Ethiopia, in Somalia, in the Pakistani administered Kashmir. We have opened 3 schools for 1,000 students, including 184 orphans just recently. Takbir. Whatever you can do, be a supportive, be a generous donor like Prophet Muhammad, especially in Ramadan. See us in the back. Do whatever you can do. Do not belittle your gift. Just be generous, be courageous, and give fi sabilillah. We'll see you outside. And inshallah, we will see 2-3 at least of you to come forward and save $5,000 from me to help solve this water issue in Gaza, inshallah. Barakallah feekum. See you in the back, inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Thank you.